you kind of like fitness, then you'll definitely love this podcast. You are listening to the only fitness podcast where you'll hear a lot about fitness and a lot about other-ish.
Welcome back to the only fitness podcast. I need to get something off my chest. Don't call me a fitness influencer.
What?
I hate fitness influencers.
You hate them?
Yeah.
So you're saying you hate yourself?
I've become the thing that I've hated for so long.
Why?
Let me get this straight. So, okay. I think to the outside person, I'd be called a fitness influencer. But I feel like if you follow my stuff and you know what I'm about, I'm much more than what most fitness influencers are.
You'd
say the same thing for yourself, right?
I have said that about you in 2 podcasts ago.
Yeah, that actually makes me really happy when people like who actually know me, they're like, you're kind of like a fitness influencer, I guess, due to like social media presence and content creation. But at the same time, you're like the anti-fitness influencer.
It's just the influencer part that you don't like, or is it just the fitness part that you don't like, or it's both?
It's just the influencer part.
Yeah, I would agree.
And you're the same thing.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a walking paradox sometimes, because I'm like, you have the ability to, you know, change your body if that's something that you want, but it should come from a place of self-acceptance. Like, those two sometimes, I feel like they don't correlate in some people's minds. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the bad thing about most fitness influencers is, you know, it's getting views and getting clicks and getting a following, getting a sponsorship. And, you know, I've almost lost sight of that. But I'm telling you right now, I will sell out for $1 million. Just give me whatever product you're trying to shell, $1 million, I guess I'll lose all my integrity. I think that's the thing, is like a lot of fitness influencers lack integrity.
Right. But it's so hard to categorize fitness influencers into one box, because there are so many different kinds, right? Like,
right. It's like we are dismantling what the idea of a fitness influencer is. I feel like there's a good group of people that we know who are also trying to do the same thing, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's so sad, because I'm like, when people do bring it up, like, I love your content or something. It's even if it's from, especially if it's from friends or people I know personally, I'm like embarrassed. I don't know, just because of that same like connotation of what a fitness influencer supposedly is.
Mm.
But it's like, I know I'm not that.
Yeah, and they know you're not that. So yeah, let's talk about it. What are the different types of fitness influencers? So beginning with the realm that we kind of fall into, the category we fall into would be the fitness influencers who are dismantling the idea of what a fitness influencer is.
Ooh, there's a good quote that I heard from somebody. A fitness influencer tells you the what, and then a fitness professional teaches you how.
Mm. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'd say, yeah, we kind of fall into the professional educator realm also. So like you have your fitness influencers. When I think of fitness influencer, I think of the clickbaity title.
Which like, I do.
Right. Check. But do you do it where it's like, want to burn the fat you from all the food you ate last night? Here's a 15-minute workout to burn all the cookies you ate just now.
So yeah, the toxic.
Right. That's the toxic fitness influencer. And that's what I think that's what a lot of people think of when they think of fitness influencer. It's the person who's like, oh, you're a fat, lazy piece of shit. Here's a good HIIT workout to get you a 6-pack in 6 minutes.
Right.
And I make fun of them all the time. And I feel like I mean, I don't follow them from like start to finish. Like I've never, you know, followed an influencer from maybe they started as someone who was trying to give out good information and just, you know, fell into the trap of wanting to, you know, expand their brand or become the face of the fitness niche that they're in, but I feel like the ones that I come across, they all seem to not have their integrity anymore, which I mean, shoot me if I'm wrong, but like a lot of people are shelling things out left and right.
How do you know, like, how do you know if, how do you gauge someone's integrity? Like, if you come across their profile, do you just see one post and it's like, oh, here, it's like an ad, so obviously sponsored, or do you go through and see, oh, what is the rest of their content?
Right. Usually I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I see what they've been doing. But I mean, on TikTok, you'll usually see like the same people on your For You page, especially if they're a bigger creator and making like, you know, lots of quote unquote good content, because a lot of people are watching it, sharing it. Like, oh, I just added lemon water into my routine and I lost 10 pounds in a month. And here's what you need to do to lose 10 pounds also. And so I think that group of fitness influencers usually don't go to school for anything relating to like physiology, kinesiology, anatomy. They kind of just picked it up as a side hobby. Not saying that you need to go to school for any of that, but it going to school or having that background in terms of like science, how to like read research, how to, you know, correlate certain things, numbers, all that good stuff, you know, that it does have some merit in how you think and how you present information to other people.
Right.
Even that aside is like, okay, even if it did become a hobby and it turned out to become your job getting into the fitness space, like, did you seek out certifications? Again, not saying you need certifications to, you know, hold a title, but it's like, did you take the extra step to make sure you're providing the best knowledge possible?
Yeah. And like, have you worked with enough people to know how different people are and how nuanced their like own experiences are in their lifestyle and stuff? I was just thinking about, this is just going on a tangent, but I guess there's like the fitness influencers that they have their certification, so they think that they know everything, but they really haven't worked with people. So whatever, there's that camp. And then there's also like the diehard, like evidence-based only, like we don't, you know, you're just like a data point. Like there's no room for lifestyle. Like, you know, there's like, there needs to be like a happy medium of like, do you know what I'm trying, know what I'm trying to say? I can't like put it into words right now.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. So like even within like the small niche fitness influencer community where people do have a certification, there's people who are like die hard by the numbers. And then there are others who are like only focused on one group. And so you're talking about like this middle ground that not a lot of people are covering.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I get it. It can be hard because if you try to cater to many, you cater to no one, right? If you try to help everyone as much as possible, you end up helping no one because people do have like specific needs. So I feel like it is a really hard gray area that a lot of professionals get themselves into, because of course, like anyone in the like health space as a professional wants to help as many people. But, you know, if you try to help an old 80-year-old just starting their fitness journey and then a 16-year-old who has been playing sports all their high school career, it's like, it's good to have that range, but at the same time, like, who are you actually helping? Since those are two different communities, very different people, like, how much can you actually know in your space if you don't niche down and get specific? So that does, you know, bring up a point where people do try to niche down as much as possible because they want to talk to their ideal client or their ideal avatar. Or maybe they're talking to their younger self and it just so happens that all these other people kind of match that. So yeah, getting into the gray area is really hard as a professional.
Yeah. If it doesn't apply, let it fly.
Great analogy.
Also, oh man, I lost my train of thought with that.
As you try to remember it, I'll just kind of go over into another side of it, which is, you know, having the like a professional certification or degree, holding a degree does cause you to not be able to say the things that someone without a degree can. And it's like So if you're a doctor or a doctor of physical therapy or a registered dietitian, like you do have to be more careful with what you say and not overstep your boundaries.
Whereas staying within your scope or something.
Yeah, right. You want to stay within your scope, because if I didn't hold anything, no degrees, I could literally say whatever and I could tell someone to do whatever and follow my plan and my routine. But at the end of the day, I'm probably not going to get like any backlash from that, because
no consequences.
What are they going to take from me? I don't have anything. Right. Whereas, you know, if you are a professional, you do have that threshold of integrity that you need to keep, because if you do overstep your bound, like who knows what's going to happen after that.
Right. I do remember what I was going to say. With the evidence-based, I would hope everything we do is rooted in the science and stuff, but there's always room for anecdote too. There's the other camp of fitness influencers that are like all about debunking. I'm thinking of a few.
We're probably thinking of the same ones.
Yeah. And so it's just so confusing, because there's like so many different myths to debunk, or like quote unquote myths, I guess.
Yeah.
Which just adds on to the confusion of information.
Yeah. And you know, I like watching that stuff, because I do like understanding the nuance. But I realize as a personal trainer for, you know, the gen pop, anyone who's not like a high level, high performing athlete, or anyone who's not super into like biohacking, like my information is not for them. Right. There are people who have cemented themselves in the fitness space as, you know, being the go-to person, like Dr. Schoenfeld, right? Mm-hmm. He's the go-to person for anything related to muscle building or hypertrophy. Jeff Nippert also does a really good job where, you know, he takes the common misconceptions and he'll break it down and explain it through science. But those two are like far end of the spectrum. Like no one is actually going to be able to take their information and apply it in the same way if it were like general health stuff.
But the thing with them too is like they take both sides of whatever argument, you know, like they acknowledge it, you know, instead of no, that's completely freaking wrong. Cause like we said before in our, the very first podcast of like the rebranding thing of like all of the myths, like there's some sort of, there's a grain of truth at the heart of a myth. So like, I think they do also a good job of understanding why people understand certain things.
Oh, right. Those are just the two off the top of my head. And they happen to be some of the best in their, you know, respective fields. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are a lot of people who try to follow that example and try to break down every little thing, even though, you know, the audience they're catering to is not someone who's going to be able to ingest all that information and apply it to their life.
Right. Or do they like, and they probably just don't really even, a lot of people probably don't care. I'm like, for us who are in the space, of course we want to like understand the information that we're sharing, but for just gen pop, it's like, no, just, you know, tell me what to do.
Right. And I think it's important for us to understand it, but, and then I think the best fitness professionals understand it and can relay the information in a simple way. Right. And that's what the best teachers do. They'll take the most complicated things and they'll be able to tell it to a fifth grader, right? That's usually the goal. You want to take whatever complex thing you're looking at, like the MIR pathway for fat oxidation. Okay. What does that mean? I don't know what this pathway is. What's fat oxidation? And just telling someone, oh, you know, like actually there was a study showing that muscle cells do send a signal to your fat cells to burn fat as you use the muscle, as you build it up. Boom. But then there are people who like, you know, really try to extrapolate everything and try to tell someone who really doesn't care about all that stuff, all that information.
And I guess that's another way too, is like if, because I think some people can fall prey to, oh, this person, they really know their shit. Like, you know, they're very into the side, like the, all of the mechanisms behind something, and they automatically deem that person as a super credible source of all of their information, where it's like, can they break it down for you to where you actually understand what the fuck they're talking about? Because I don't know.
Yeah, it's all about applicable knowledge. And so, yeah, going back to like the fitness influencers, there are the fitness influencers who, you know, might be more for entertainment or, you know, entertainment value. And then there are influencers who are more into the educational aspect of things. I mean, what other type of influencers are there? I feel like they kind of fall into one or the other. And I'm trying to, I feel like over the past year, I've branded myself as somewhat of both in a sense.
Yeah, I that's what I was just thinking about too. I'm like, I don't know where I fall. I mean, I would hope that you would think my content's entertaining and I don't take myself too seriously, but I also want you to learn something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, the really good ones will provide the entertainment value when necessary, because people do always enjoy entertainment, but then also to have some sort of educational aspect, you know, on the back end. You can't, I feel like I would get bored if it was all education all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's figuring out like, how can I educate while also entertaining? And I feel like TikTok, you know, has really made that, those two things overlap a lot, because then you can use a trending sound or a trending, you know, TikTok theme and then incorporate it into whatever you're trying to teach in terms of fitness. So I really do appreciate TikTok, and I think it's blended those two a lot over the past year and a half.
Yeah. And it's like, depending on what your algorithm looks like, I think it's really fun. It's like really cool to see how people explain different things, like especially if they are in the fitness, you know, space. Because I don't know about you, but when I see someone and they're like sharing their content, I'm like, damn, like that, it, when you create stuff, it's like you, there's no room really to actually criticize someone else for their work or the way that they present an idea, because it's like, you know how much work goes into creating that video, unless it's like you're shit posting, which I do all the time, but you know what I mean? Like if you're actually trying to explain something, like, I think I saw a video of you explaining like to like flex your triceps at the bottom of your bicep curl or something like that.
Yeah, roasted by a high schooler.
Nice.
Cause I go, okay, like I'm not a bodybuilder, but I know my physiology. And so I was trying to, like, within this 15-second video, I'm trying to explain, you know, antagonistic muscles. Like when the triceps is firing, the bicep is, you know, fully resting, and then vice versa, right? And then some, I mean, I try not to focus on the negative ones too much, so I don't reply to them, but I still see them and I want to reply. But he's like, oh, you don't know physiology. You probably took like anatomy in high school. I'm like, bitch, that's my degree. And I hope I'm using it right. You know, there are some times where I'm like, yeah, maybe I should have looked a little more into the science so that I could better explain it. But then, come on. Cut me some slack. There's 15 seconds. I can't get through a whole, what is it? There's alpha and beta. Alpha and beta muscle cells, aren't there?
I thought you were saying like
inhibitory
alpha
muscle
men,
cells.
And there's beta alpha
neurons, beta neurons, interneurons, synaptic cleft, synaptic vesicle.
At that point, it's like
acetylcholine. I'm just naming things.
What can you actually apply?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
you're not going to be thinking of that when you're doing a bicep curl.
Right. You don't have to think about all the interneurons.
I mean, it's cool if you do.
Oh, I do sometimes for mind muscle connection. I felt like it helped at least one person.
Well, yeah, for sure. Of course.
But then the 16-year-old personal armchair personal trainer, he knows more than I do.
Armchair expert.
I'm just going to give him my job.
What did Tyler say last podcast? Subject matter expert. Yeah.
Subject matter expert. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, if you're really the expert, go be the expert. Go do it. Don't just say it. Do it. Which is, I think, kind of where I'm coming from, is like, I've seen so much bad information. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Like, it's not going to be that hard, right? it was kind of hard, but look at me now. But it's also like, I've seen so much bad information. I'm like, something's got to give here. Like, someone needs to provide good information.
Hey, the best quote, I got a lot of quotes, guys and girls and everyone else.
Non-binaries.
Yes. Guys, gals, non-binary pals. The best quote that I think about all the time when I'm making TikToks or an Instagram post is, criticize by creating. So just, you don't have to criticize that person. Just like make your own content that gives good information.
Yeah.
There's so much shit out there.
There is a lot. And sometimes, you just need someone to help you filter through it all. So how do you do that? How do you filter through information? I mean, coming from where we are now, but try to think back to like high school, Monica, how would you filter through like good and bad fitness information?
Oh, high school, Monica? I don't think she would.
Early college, Monica? Late graduate, senior college, Monica? Because as you think, like for me, basically growing up, you had YouTube. And here's who you had to rely on for fitness information. You had Mike Chang, Six Pack Abs. For me, he falls into, you know, the bad fitness influencer because he would always have like...
I don't think I even know who that is.
Oh, Mike Chang, Six Pack Abs. I'm sure someone listening has come across his videos. He was very like early 2010s, like showing you how to get a six pack, probably not giving the best information all the time, but, you know, trying his best, but still kind of falling off. And then there was...
Hold on. Do you think the modern day is... Oh, man. I don't want to...
Say it. No one listens to the podcast. Oh, okay. Do you want to talk about Chloe Ting? Let's talk about Chloe Ting. Wait, let me finish my thought real quick.
I joined. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
The other person was Athleen X, and he's still doing it. But I think the difference between YouTube and TikTok is that no one could really openly criticize him. Right. Because unless you were already big, let's think about it. If you're already big and if you were bigger than him, you're not going to necessarily talk down at him. Right. No one who ever talks down at you is above you, like, which is what I realize. Like, no one who ever talks down on you, like, oh, this is bad information, you should have done this, this, and this, they're usually not someone who is like above you, whether it's like in social media following. I mean, there are some, but like, usually the comments you get are from trolls with zero posts, 200 followers, and on private, right? They're not gonna openly criticize you. So I feel like with YouTube, you couldn't openly criticize a lot of the big names because it wasn't the platform for that. Whereas on TikTok, you definitely can. Like, you can still be a big creator and like openly criticize, sometimes constructive criticism, but a lot of times just kind of back and forth trolling each other. Back to Chloe Ting. I think Chloe Ting,
have to say I missed that wave. I joined after like... or amidst that, I mean, maybe it's still like a trend and people still
on TikTok.
Yeah. Like I did not know about her at all. And then
me neither.
Oh, really?
The reason she got so big was because of quarantine. I mean, she was already very big, but then she blew up. Like, I think she gained like 10 million subscribers over the duration of a few months because of quarantine and people were like, maybe not 10 million, but something like very large, kind of like, you know, how Charlie D'Amelio and Addison Rae really blew up after quarantine. So it was the quarantine effect, which, I mean, I'm thankful for. I got a little bit of the residual.
Yeah.
But I'll go on a limb here and say, I think Chloe Ting did a really good job in getting people, you know, into fitness.
Interested. Yeah.
Yeah. People got interested. That's really the first part of any fitness journey. I know Tyler said maybe it was Jessica, she doesn't like the word fitness journey, but I still like it. Cause I think it does, you know, it does embody what I think of when I think of fitness, but she got people interested in fitness, which is awesome. That's usually the very first step, in getting someone, you know, to reach their goals, whatever that might be, or getting more active,
or just even more curious about their body. Like in general. I would agree with that for sure.
And then from there, it's so a lot of people, you could either go two ways. And we kind of touched upon this where it's like, for me, I know I'm not going to be the niche expert breaking down how insulin can affect your muscle growth right after a workout and why you need glucose and fructose right after a workout in order to maximize all of your anabolic hormones that are being produced, right? So that's not me. And I feel like Chloe was the intro, and she also knew that she would never be like the super expert on like why this is, you know, making your body look a certain way. I'm sure she still had like educational stuff, but she definitely understood her audience, and her audience were people just getting into fitness, just trying their best, trying to get a workout in during quarantine. And she provided a huge platform for those people. Like, she got people onto, you know, great programs, and it was all free. That's the other thing, is like, people don't realize, like, she was doing this for free. Yeah. She was improving access to fitness, which is like a huge thing, where now people just need to open up YouTube. They can do a whole 25 to 35 to 45 workout at home by themselves. They don't need a personal trainer. They don't need a gym. They can do it literally in the comfort of their own home. And I don't think people realize, you know, how massive that is. Now we look at the companies who are taking over the space, which would be like Mirror and Tonal. They realize like people do want to stay at home. How can we capitalize on that? And
right.
So I feel like no one ever really gives her the benefit there. Of course, you'll see like people's good transformations, but at the same time, you'll see a lot of bad transformations and people like, oh, I turned into a door. So then who is to a door? Like, people said like they would go from like hourglass to a door shape.
Really?
You ever saw those? Yeah.
No. And I'm honestly also like have not even really seen her videos. So I'm just
I did her whole challenge on YouTube. I did
really
her, oh man, I don't know, a 14-day challenge. So I tried to do all 14 of her workouts in one day.
One day?
Yeah, one day. All
of
them.
How did it go?
It was hard.
I'm sure.
I would never do it again. Yeah.
Wait, were they all like 45 minutes or?
They're between 25 to 45, I guess average would be like 35. So 14, okay. 14. Well, actually, no. Because she would have multiple workouts in a day sometimes. So I remember it would take me like an hour to do like one day, because she would have like a circuit in the morning and then abs at night. So you'd have to do them back to back. And so it would take you like an hour just to do one workout. So if you have 14 1-hour workouts, that's 14 hours.
A lot.
Yeah, I went from sunup to sundown. But going back to Chloe Ting this question that I want to pose is like, who is it up to at that point after someone gets interested and wants to learn more? Is it up to Chloe Ting to like rebrand and change her specialty, which is, you know, creating easy to follow along workout videos that are entertaining? Or is it up to, you know, the person, the individual, to seek out that information? Loaded question.
Easy. But. No, I'm like, don't be a hero.
Right.
Like you said, you can't cater to everybody. You can't cater to every single person's journey. But yeah, I think about that a lot too. It's like that person's responsibility. Is that the right word to use? If that's something that they want to pursue, like that's up to you to.
Right.
And that's the reason why I sort of even brought her up in the first place, is when I would have potential clients reach out to me, they'd be like, I was starting to see some results, of course, like after doing this person's workout. A lot of the times it was Chloe Ting. But of course their body adapts, and like, you know, it's not enough, or maybe their lifestyle, they got their jobs back, they're going back to school. Like it's not realistic for them to keep doing her workouts anymore.
Right.
And so like they did the work of like reaching out and asking for more help.
Mm. Yeah. But okay. So for the people listening who don't really understand like how to filter, like what did those clients do? Like, how do they know to reach out to you? Or was it because like they just happened to find your stuff on TikTok?
I mean, I'm sure they like, it was from TikTok, but
yeah,
they were just like, I'm not seeing the results that I want and like anymore. Mm-hmm. Like they first started seeing results and then they fell off.
Yeah.
Or like the workouts just weren't doing it for them anymore.
Yeah.
Basically the situation you were explaining earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you could find there's tons of personal trainers out there. You could find a personal trainer that really matches your style. And I'm sure you get this a lot, but like people probably tell you like, oh, like the reason I reached out is like, I've been following you for a while. I like your content. I like the way you look at fitness, health and wellness, how you do your workouts, how you, you know, try to eat. And so then I wanted to work with you. And so I feel like that's the natural progression, is like you find someone's content that you really resonate with and then, you know, decide to work with them, which goes back again to the beginning, which is like why it is important to niche down. I know we talked about like being too specific is not going to be the best for a lot of people, but it is still important to, you know, niche down. Like, let's say I work only with post-grad males who are looking to start a fitness routine because they never did one and they graduated and now they're back to work and they don't know what to do in the gym or they don't want to go to the gym yet. Things like that. So yeah. So for me personally, as a content creator and as a personal trainer, I've been at odds with that, where it's like, I know I need to niche down and find my ideal avatar, my ideal client that I do want to help. But at the same time, I want to keep making content that can be pretty generalized.
Right. It's so hard. It's like, so hard.
Shout out Liz King, but her stuff is like, she has, you know, whole personal training packages just for horseback riders, which is like super niche. Have you ever looked at her stuff? Made for Me Fitness, Liz King.
I haven't looked at, no, I know her, but.
Oh, okay.
I haven't looked at her packages. That's so cool. Yeah. I just had,
because I think she was a horseback rider as well. So like when I was looking at her stuff before, I was like, oh, that's like super niche, like, you know, catering to equestrians.
I need to refer someone out to her because I've literally had like 4 or 5
equestrians really.
Yeah. Reach out to me.
Yeah. Or there's also, I don't know if she still does it. I'm trying to look through her, through Liz's, website to see if she still actually does the equestrian stuff, but I could have sworn it was her. So maybe if Liz ever listens to us, maybe I was wrong, but let me know if, I was. But then there's also, another friend of mine, April, her Instagram is @smalletics. And so her programming and personal training stuff is all catered towards petite women. So she's 5'1", 5'2".
What the heck?
Yeah. So she really understands like how fitness life, health life, wellness life can be for smaller women. Because a lot of the time, you know, especially in fitness, it's usually catered towards men. So it's really hard to find, you know, good personal trainers who understand the women's body. And so she's even niched down more than that, like working with small girls. I think her thing is like Petite Power is one of her programs.
Oh my God, which I
love
awesome. That.
Yeah.
That's so cute. I should hire her.
Yeah. Yeah. Coaches hire coaches too.
Yeah, dog. That's so cool. I love
Hold
that.
Hold on, water break.
Oh wait, I'll drink some, I guess.
And soup.
And soup. Ugh.
Yeah.
How many different types of influencers have we?
Well, I think we kind of narrowed it down to there's kind of two basic general ideas of a fitness influencer. There's like the fitness entertainer, fitness educator, and then everything just kind of falls between those two spectrums. I think fitness influencing really is then a spectrum.
Just like everything else.
Just like life, just like
life,
just like the sun's rays, and you know, blue light is 380 nanometers to 460 nanometers, and so when you get blue light into your retina, it reduces the production of melatonin, increases the production of cortisol. That's what wakes you up at night, and so when you're looking at a screen late at night and you're getting blue light into your eyes, you're reducing or delaying your production of naturally occurring melatonin and therefore increasing your cortisol because they're inversely related. And so that's why you can't sleep at night. And so that's why you should just listen to podcasts like this one, while you try to go to bed instead of working on your computer or staring at your phone.
Okay, I'll stop.
Right. I'm just saying. I don't know my physiology. What was that then? Mr. Man, I'm gonna find this guy's name.
I was like
where, I don't know where physiology. That's physiology.
Going with this. It, like I was trying to follow where you were spectrum. Okay. That's how you got there.
Today's episode is sponsored by Felix Gray. Felix Gray actually has great blue light. Man, I can't believe we're doing free promo.
And why are you doing that? There's so many other companies.
Warby Parker. I'm trying to show them that, you know, we're here to stay. Give us a sponsorship. We're waiting. We're waiting to sell out.
We just have to tag them.
But that actually wouldn't be selling out because I haven't bought Felix Gray's yet.
You know what I really would love to talk about my butthole, and I would love for Hello Tushy to sponsor.
Hello Tushy. Today's
this is just called manifesting.
Today we talk about anal prolapse, and basically the physiology and the science behind anal prolapse is you have two sphincters.
Don't Google it.
You have an inner sphincter and an outer sphincter. The outer sphincter is I think like regular skeletal muscle. And then the inner sphincter is smooth muscle. And so the inner one, you actually cannot, move. But the outer one, when you clench, that's the one you're moving, the outer one. And so that means they have different CNS pathways, right? One's autogenic. No, not autogenic. What's that called? When you don't have to think about it, like your heart just beats. What's that called? Autonomic, right.
Yeah.
And the other one is not autonomic, whatever that word is. My mom will tell me. My mom listens to all my podcasts. Did you know that?
No, she doesn't.
Yeah. And then she tells me what I did wrong. Like the Filipino mother she is.
She listens to this. Oh, no. I've said some terrible things on here.
Oh, that's okay.
Now I'm going to censor myself.
What? I don't censor myself.
Okay.
Yeah. Going back to... What were we just talking about?
Sphincters. We're talking
about sphincters. Yeah. What were we talking about before sphincters and before Hello Tushy?
And before Felix Gray?
The blue light blockers. Yeah.
The spectrum of fitness influencers.
Oh, right. So, yeah, it really is a spectrum. And so, you know, if you find people that you resonate with, that's great. I would hold on to those people. And it sounds like, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, those people are us.
So those people are us.
Make sure. Let's just on a side tangent here. I think we've got about. So, did you know we are at almost 2,500 plays? Oh, 2,499 plays.
Oh
on
my
all
god!
Of our, on all of our stuff.
Have you listened to them?
Me?
Yeah.
I make them.
Yeah, I know. But do you listen back to the whole thing?
No.
So you could make that 2,500. I listen to them.
I do. I do listen to some of them. Yeah. I do listen to some of them. I do spit some good knowledge.
Yeah.
Also, if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this and you want a job, we are looking for people to listen to our podcast and do show notes because neither Monica or I want to be doing that right now. So if you want a job, please DM us at Only Fitness Podcast and tell us that you are looking to be hired as a podcast show note taker. And, we will figure out what minimum wage. Just kidding. We'll figure out a good deal for the both of us. If you're in high school, this would be a great internship. We could get you maybe class credit. Or if you're in college, we'll try to get you some class. Please just work for us. We're really
desperate. Or you can get training from either of us.
Really? Yes. What? Wait, what?
What?
What? What if we tag teamed? What if we both?
Yeah, like, we should do that.
Yeah, I think
we
that'd
could
be
do
cool.
That for sure. That'd be fun.
We'll figure out a way to make it work for, you know, all parties involved. But yeah. Fitness influencers. I think we kind of ran the gamut on what they are, what to expect. I'm just sick of fitness influencers. I'm here. You remember that one part in Star Wars where Obi-Wan was, you weren't supposed to join the Sith. You were supposed to destroy them. That part when they're in the lava and then Anakin just
yes
just gets ripped off I feel like Anakin sometimes. I feel like I'm betraying my morals. But that's good, because I feel like the fitness influencers who don't think that aren't, you know, looking at their own content and making sure it's, you know, filled with integrity. So I feel like I'm always at a crossroads, like, you know, is this actually good content, or is it entertaining at least?
Yeah.
Or am I selling out? And I cannot say I've sold out yet. Still waiting.
Yeah. Why are you saying yet?
Very close to selling out.
No.
I've been very close.
I won't let
you. The jaw thing. No, I can't.
What is that? The ball thing that you put?
Yeah. The mastic gum. Okay. So let's just talk about jaws for a second.
I got like the...
It's nuanced. Yo, you have TMJ syndrome?
Well, I don't know.
You have masseters? Basically, let's break down like changing your jaw. So usually when I bring this up, I talk about the actual structure of your jawbone. Because have you seen someone with like a very sharp jawbone, like where it's like very nice and then it's square, obviously?
Yeah.
So I just want to say, like, yes, you can increase the size of your masseter, which would be your jaw muscle, but you can't change the actual shape of your jaw bone without surgery. You can get Sculptra to actually like change the structure of the bone underneath. Can you get a jawline just from doing jaw exercises? Maybe, but the benefits of having a nice jaw versus the risk of having TMJ and locked jaw for the rest of your life, it just does not bode well with me.
Yeah. Because
you know? That cartilage in your TMJ, your temporomandibular joint, physiology major, there we go, temporomandibular joint, the cartilage there, like you're not ever going to replace it. So once it's gone, it's gone. And you're just going to grind your jaw up into your maxilla, mandible
wow.
and maxilla. Gosh, come on, baby.
You've got the memory of a...
Yeah, I'm good.
Something that has good memory.
Yeah, elephants.
But
yeah, that's... I just wanted to go over the jaw thing. Because, okay, yeah, you can make your jaw bigger. You can make it, I guess, look quote unquote nicer, but you're never going to change the actual structure of the jawbone underneath it.
Right.
So you can like give the illusion that you have a nice jaw.
You got a nice jaw.
Yeah. And it's also the protrusion like away from your face. Like some people do have it where it like slopes down a little more. So it looks like it connects to their neck. And then also like, people will talk about like mewing and tongue posture. So like that's just bringing the like skin back up to like where it's normally supposed to be. And also,
you know,
mewing,
all this stuff because of, physiology and like you're smart and stuff, but like modeling, thanks. Do you do this when you model?
No, I can't actually bite down. There are some models who like bite down and still be able to like smolder and stuff, but I can't.
What's smolder?
Smolder, like with your eyes.
What?
You don't know what smoldering is?
No.
It's like a sexy smirk.
Smirk.
I think I'm smoldering. Yeah. It's like a sexy smirk.
Gotcha.
You're doing it in your in the picture for our podcast, actually.
I am
you're holding your yoga mat. That's kind of a smolder. More of a smirk. If you did less smirk and more eyes, it's a smolder.
I like the smirk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a smirk. You can tell it's a smirk by the way your orbital orbicularis is contracting. Dang. Did
wow.
I say it right?
I don't know, but we love this. Always bringing it back.
I said it the opposite. Orbicularis oris. Orbicularis oris. Those are the muscle around your eye.
Bia.
Oh no, lip. Sorry, lip. The other eye, the eye without a retina, which is your mouth.
We have three eyes.
Four eyes, actually.
Oh.
One eye doesn't see the light. But yeah, I feel like we've talked a lot about fitness influencers. We gave a little rundown on jaw structure. We did a little physiology. Any last comments, questions, concerns?
No, I think we covered it.
Yeah. So let's send the viewers off. Not viewers. They don't watch this. You guys listen to this. Oh, excuse me. We're going to send the viewers off. So if you're still listening, if you're listening on Spotify, could you please follow the podcast? That way you get notifications whenever we put out a new episode. We're still doing our weekly Friday episode. We might be throwing in, you know, another episode here and there that's not on Friday, but every Friday you should be expecting a new episode. So if you could please just hit that follow button so that it says following. That way it also helps our podcast out a lot so that we can kind of move up the charts here. Whoever listens to this first will be our 2,500 listener, which is awesome. And we still have $0 in our bank account because no one has sponsored us. So if you, this is just for the sponsors now. So if you already followed us on Spotify, that's great. If you left a 5-star review on Apple, make sure to screenshot it and send the screenshot to our Only Fitness Podcast Instagram. I will send you a cameo type video thanking you for your service. Usually that costs upwards of $1 billion, but
with
I'll
your
do
shirt,
it for you
with your shirt on free. Or off.
Hey, you take the screenshot, DM me whether you want my shirt on or off, and I will send you that video. It has to be a 5-star review and it has to be a public review. No private reviews. We're trying to get our reviews up and I'll send you that video. Just let me know. Shirt on, shirt off. I'll do whatever. I'm kind of a slut for my podcast. This is now just for the sponsors. So sponsors, if you're listening to us, Monica and I, we are both over 21. We'll take on alcohol sponsorships. ZBiotics, if you're listening, we would do you also because it helps prevent hangovers. I mean, let's just throw sponsorships out there. Hello Tushy. Hello Tushy. We hate having, you know, poop stains, especially as fitness influencers. I like to wear white shorts a lot.
Oh, so I love wearing white shorts.
Can't have any poop stains. Nope. Who else is out there? Felix Gray, Warby Parker. That's all I really want.
I know. I don't do sponsorships much, so.
Please sponsor us. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Only Fitness Podcast. Don't forget to hit that follow button on Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And either one of those, just send a screenshot, send it to our Only Fitness Podcast Instagram. I'll do that little cameo thing that I promised. And be sure to always listen in Friday morning when we release our new podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. That is Monica Blanco at ASAP Moni. I am Alan Yee at The Alan Yee. And this is the Only Fitness Podcast. I hope we don't get in trouble for our new logo that we put up. All right, guys, if we're not here next week, you'll know why. It's because there is a legal issue. All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you so, so much for listening to the Only Fitness Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review. Share this podcast with a friend or family member, and be sure to follow us on Instagram. Until next time, this has been the Only Fitness Podcast.